In the name of God, our Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever noticed that when you worship, you feel lighter and freer and happier? It just happens every time you worship, doesn't it? Yeah. It's because this is an energy field, charging us with the most profound kind of energy. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Now, out in the world these days, we really seem to be floundering, don't you think? Never in human history have people worked so hard to feel like we're accomplishing so little and feeling so dissatisfied. And the future, that great and glorious future, seems indeterminate these days, doesn't it? We're not sure where things are going. And we are overwhelmed with a sense of a tired indifference when it comes to all the nonsense going on in the world. Now we have internalized marketplace values. So I'm here to tell you today that I'm all about me. I sure am. It's self-interest is where it's at. I'm going to maximize my benefits. And I'm going to gain every profit that I can. And I'm going to dominate every one of you that I possibly can. Because I'm me. Can I get an amen? It's frightening, isn't it? And we're laughing because we witness it all the time. All the time. And violence within our own society, violence in the world, has become abhorrent. I want you to know today that our Judeo-Christian scriptures are most concerned with this theme, the chaos of everything going on. The scriptures are not concerned with sin and guilt, and then you say you're sorry, and then you do better. They're not. It's the chaos. When life has lost its moorings, where do we turn? How do we live? That's what the Bible is passionate about understanding. Because we are in that place again, aren't we? Aren't we? We don't want to admit it. That's where we are. And today we need a new story. We need a new future. We need a new way in which to imagine ourselves and the way life can be. Resurrection celebrates Jesus. Now, who was he? See, now he was homeless. He depended upon women who were second-rate creatures, you know. None of his followers were educated. They're the poor and the outcast. He was clearly subversive. You know, he'd get angry at people on different occasions. He even cursed trees. What kind of a guy is that, cursing trees? Yeah. Some people thought he was deranged because he didn't even acknowledge his own family. Now, this is the same guy who says, I want you to live like the lilies of the field. Are you willing to do that for this next Easter week in honor of the resurrection? All of you, neither spinning nor toiling. I just want you to go out and live like the lilies of the field. That's way too hard to ask, isn't it? I'm sorry. I take it back. You don't have to do it. Don't. Just because Jesus said it. No. I mean, many of his teachings and his deeds appear incomprehensible to us, don't they? Which is why we need to study them and figure out, what do they mean? And of all the great figures in human history, Jesus is clearly the least logical. And He loves us. Because God is love. And love has to be personal in order to become real, doesn't it? Who needs love and ideas? It's love between us that charges us. It's love which draws human beings together. It's love that makes life flourish. It's love that makes people happy, like our children. And it's love which is the fulfillment of evolution. You can say you heard it here first. Yeah, it's where evolution's going. Someday love shall be all in all. But we're even afraid of love, aren't we? We will resist it. We will reject it. Because where does love lead? Where? And so Jesus engages us in the most profound experience of love the world has known. He meets us in the midst of that nothingness which we are so afraid of, we don't want to talk about it. That void, the abyss of emptiness, the havoc of violence going on in our world, He experiences in the chaos of the crucifixion. And Easter celebrates the absolute greatness of the Christ who takes on Himself our rejections. Because we're really good at that part, aren't we? Rejecting life, rejecting God, and certainly rejecting each other. He takes into Himself, into this profound, divine mercy. And it kills him. But from there, no one is excluded. No one. If people cannot be reached by love, then they will be reached by forgiveness. Because it is mercy that makes everything new. Everything new. Mercy heals and feeds and frees and forgives, and mercy invests in others. These endless grace waves of mercy. They are palpable. We get to experience them in this energy field and beyond. We know when we're loved, don't we? We know when we're cherished. We know when we're cared about. It makes life real and joyous. And God is the one who turns what is into what can be. The one who turns hurt and brokenness and pain and sorrow into new life. And that, friends, is our story. It's why we gather today, because that's our story. That's the truth of who we are. And that story belongs to all of us and to our children and their children. The Eucharist is sometimes called the Holy Thursday or Maundy Thursday Revolution, because it shifts our focus and our values from that of dominating others to communion with others, with life, with wholeness, with the earth. It is the Eucharist which shapes the love and the life of the community of faith, so that we then shape the world in the image of communion. It's not just about what happens here and here. It's the living Eucharist that we become for the sake of the world. So we heard the very conclusion of Mark's Gospel. Yes? That's where it ends, verse 8. Go home and read it. The rest of it was a later addition. It's pitch it. And there you hear the conclusion of Mark's Gospel. And the women, they were frightened out of their wits. They ran away. They told no one anything because they were terrified. That's the end of the Gospel? Mm-hmm. But we understand it, don't we? Pastor Elizabeth understands it easily. Because they, like we, are threatened by resurrection. What kind of a future do we anticipate? Annihilation, eco, global disaster, and the walking dead everywhere, just like on TV. Really? Really? Or will we create a world of communion which will benefit and bless the next generation with life and love? We get to choose. We get to choose, and there are consequences to our choosing. So we understand what it means to be threatened by resurrection, if we're going to make this world into God's image and love. But be assured, God makes saints, God makes great saints out of fools and sinners and the lost, because mercy believes in us. Right here. Mercy believes in us. That's our story. Dare to believe it. Dare to risk it. Trust it. Live it. Love it. Imagine it. Dare to make resurrection real. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. We stand to sing.